EAA fires a shot over the FAA's bow. Congress says not so fast on the sleep apnea front, and Evergreen parks its planes. This is Aero News for Friday, December the 6th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. EAA counsel Alan Farkas has filed a 48-page petition for review of FAA action and other relief with the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in support of EAA's attempt to overturn last spring's surprise FAA decision to bill the organization for the annual Air Venture fly-in. Through its petition for review, EAA seeks return of all monies paid for ATC services and a declaration that the FAA may not seek payment from EAA for these services in the future. More specifically, and according to the brief, EAA posits that these charges are unlawful because Congress has not authorized the FAA to impose fees for these services. To the contrary, ATC services are funded through excise taxes, and Congress has explicitly prohibited the FAA from imposing user fees. Even if the FAA could legally demand payment from EAA for its ATC services, it failed to honor proper administrative procedures, and the agreement reached with EAA was the product of duress. Other interested parties are expected to weigh in on this issue in the next few days, and trust ANN to bring you those details, as well as the FAA's response, when they are filed and disclosed. The U.S. House Transportation Committee on Wednesday approved bipartisan legislation, House Resolution 3578, to ensure the FAA conducts an open rulemaking process before making any changes to medical certification requirements for pilots with sleep disorders. In November, FAA officials announced their intent to subject all pilots with a body mass index of 40 or more who might be at risk of having a sleep disorder even in the absence of any clinical evidence to potentially expensive testing and evaluation. The FAA also indicated their intention to eventually broaden this policy to apply to air traffic controllers and possibly to pilots with a lower BMI. The Lobiondo-Larson legislation approved Wednesday does not prohibit the FAA from implementing new medical certification requirements for sleep apnea. It does, however, require the agency to conduct an open rulemaking process if they choose to propose new sleep disorder requirements. In effect, this bill forces the FAA to slow down its rush to judgment against overweight pilots and controllers. The bill now goes to the full House for its consideration. Evergreen International Airline has parked its airplanes and notified ALPA that pay owed to pilots will be delayed as the McMinnville, Oregon-based cargo carrier appears to have flown its final flight. The Oregonian reports that a memo went out to ALPA members on Monday, saying that meetings were scheduled with lien holders, but that pilots for the charter carrier with military contracts would likely see a delay in receiving their latest paychecks. The creditor's decision may take some time, according to James B. Touche, the chairman of ALPA Local 118. Evergreen's founder, Delford Smith, had vigorously denied rumors that the company was about to fold. The carrier had, at one time, operated a worldwide fleet of 747 cargo jets with contracts that included the CIA and secret missions for the U.S. military. The last flight apparently landed Monday at Victorville, California. Some of the carrier's leased airplanes have been repossessed by creditors. It had recently divested itself of Evergreen Helicopters, Inc., in an effort to repay some of its debt. Republic Airways Holdings, Inc. has closed on the sale of Frontier Airlines to an investment fund affiliated with Indigo Partners, LLC. Effective upon the closing of the sale, David Siegel, CEO and president of Frontier Airlines, resigned from Republic's board of directors. One key element to Frontier's future success will be operating as an ultra-low-cost carrier that offers low fares. Frontier will remain headquartered in Denver, Colorado. Two skydivers jumping near Eloy, Arizona Tuesday collided in midair, resulting in their fatal injuries. The parachutes of the two skydivers collapsed, according to a report from the Arizona Republic. One died at the scene, and a second was transported to a nearby hospital, where they were later pronounced dead. The jumpers had been participating in a week-long event called Square One World Sequential Series 13 that gathered 200 participants from around the world. The event's website said they would be trying to establish, quote, as many new official world sequential records as we can, end quote, by Friday. USA Today reports that the event continued as planned despite the fatalities. Neither person fatally injured was said to be an American, but authorities have not released their home countries. The South Shore Convention and Visitors Authority is moving ahead with plans to hold the South Shore Air Show at Fair Oaks Farms, about 40 miles south of Gary, Indiana, despite criticism from local elected officials about the move. The SSCVA board will meet December 9th to begin contract negotiations with the agriculture-themed tourist attraction. But the move has been controversial. Hammond, Indiana Mayor Thomas McDermott Jr. called the move, quote-unquote, a travesty. When Aero News continues, turning up the heat on Orion. FAA issues an SAIB for winter rotorcraft operations, and high honors for a warbird pilot.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Aero News continues now for Friday, December the 6th. I'm Glenn Moyer. NASA's Orion spacecraft's heat shield arrived at the agency's Kennedy Space Center in Florida on Wednesday night aboard the agency's Super Guppy aircraft. The heat shield, the largest of its kind ever built, is scheduled for installation on the Orion crew module in March in preparation for Orion's first flight test in September of next year. The heat shield delivered to Kennedy will be used during Exploration Flight Test 1, a two-orbit flight that will take an uncrewed Orion capsule to an altitude of 3,600 miles. The returning capsule is expected to encounter temperatures of almost 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit as it travels through Earth's atmosphere at up to 20,000 miles per hour, faster than any spacecraft in the last 40 years. Data gathered during the flight will influence decisions about design improvements on the heat shield and other Orion systems, authenticate existing computer models.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
As part of the continued emphasis on rotorcraft and icing conditions, the FAA has posted a special Airworthiness Information Bulletin, or SAIB, directed at owners and operators of turboshaft-powered rotorcraft, of the possibility of in-flight engine loss of power due to the ingestion of ice and or snow. Accumulation of ice or snow can occur in the area of the airframe engine inlet while the rotorcraft is on the ground or in the air. The FAA says it is revising and reissuing this SAIB because ice and snow ingestion continue to be a contributing factor in helicopter accidents. During the winter months of early 2013, at least two helicopter accidents were suspected to have ice or snow ingestion that led to loss of engine power. One of these accidents resulted in fatalities. This SAIB describes procedures to reduce the probability of an engine in-flight shutdown due to ice and or snow ingestion. Most helicopters are not approved or equipped for flight into icing conditions. Lee Lauterbach of Stallion 51, located at Kissimmee Gateway Airport in Central Florida, has been inducted into the EAA's Warbird Hall of Fame. Lauterbach, who's been flying since 1966, is president, CEO, and founder of Stallion 51 Corporation, located at the Kissimmee Gateway Airport. Stallion 51 is regarded as the world leader in Mustang flights and training. and Lauterbach has been the chief flight instructor since Stallion 51's inception, amassing over 20,000 flight hours in all types of aircraft, including over 9,000 hours in the Mustang. He is the highest-time Mustang pilot in the world and is one of the pilots for the U.S. Air Force Heritage Flight Program. That program showcases historic World War II military aircraft as well as the current U.S. Air Force military aircraft in a unique formation flight. Lee also instructs for the Navy Test Pilot School at Patuxent River, Maryland. Congratulations, Lee. We're proud of you. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks so much for listening. You're now cleared for departure.